the president last night, working on your economic recovery one leg at a time.
The recovery and reinvestment package is not the only thing we have to do. It's one leg of the stool.
Please be seated. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, February 10th. I'm Todd Zwillick, joined by Catherine Lamper. John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji are away. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, in this hour, we take a look at what we can expect from the new administration's new plans for the financial bailout. A look at the president's first primetime news conference through the eyes of a reporter who was there, and what it's like to live in revolutionary Iran, even if you're too young to remember the revolution. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines.
President Obama mentioned a stool in his press conference last night, but he remained standing for all of the primetime event, and he says the government can't take the recession lying down.
With the private sector so weakened by this recession, the federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life.
He's calling for quick passage of his economic stimulus plan. He rejected criticism that the government is being too heavy-handed. He said 90% of the jobs created by the plan would be in the private sector. The bill will face a full Senate vote today, and it's expected to pass by a thin margin.
The president also fielded questions about foreign policy, including his plans for relations with Iran. He's on the lookout to hold diplomatic meetings.
My expectation is in the coming months, we will be looking for openings that can be created where we can start sitting across the table, face-to-face, diplomatic overtures that will allow us to move our policy in a new direction.
The president said there were still grave concerns about Iran's nuclear program and its support for terrorist organizations. On the topic the president didn't talk much about was his plan for the remaining bailout funds. He says he'll leave that to today's press conference from his Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner. The new plan is expected to include a provision that will relieve banks of their toxic assets.
The death toll from the 400 wildfires that have torn through southern Australia is now over 180. The number is expected to rise as rescue work continues. One Southern Police Chief, Christine Nixon, says weather worsened the situation.
It is, though, extremely sad that people have lit these fires on the worst day that Victoria could have had. The temperature was so high, the circumstances of the previous weeks, really did cause an environment that many of us were very concerned about.
Police believe that some of the fires were deliberately set and they're preparing to release a sketch of at least one suspect. Israelis are heading out to vote in their general election today. Rain and strong winds expected to keep turnout low. We'll have more on that later in the show. The Dow closed down just slightly at 82.71. The S&P barely ended up in positive territory at 870. Now, we were talking about this yesterday. We're going to continue to talk about it today. Todd, how should the stimulus plan money be spent? Does your town need a new hospital, a new industry? I know you wanted an intern, but
that's right.
No, that's not what we're going to do. Okay, so tell us where you live and what you need. Call us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
It's The Takeaway on WNYC 93.9 FM and WNYC.org. I'm Richard Hake. Good morning. 36 degrees right now in New York City. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says she's ready to tackle gun violence this after visiting a Brooklyn school where a student died in a shooting last month.
One of the biggest problems we have in New York, where we have strong laws, is that some of our neighboring states and states in the South do not have such strong laws. And what happens is all of the illegal guns we have in New York come from somewhere else.
Gillibrand says she wants to work with the parents of the victim to combat gun trafficking. The new senator has come under fire from gun control advocates after receiving 100% approval ratings from the NRA. As a congresswoman, Gillibrand represented a conservative upstate district. District. The Securities and Exchange Commission has announced an agreement with Bernard Madoff. The deal could eventually force him to pay a civil fine and return money to investors. The deal must be approved by the judge overseeing the case in Manhattan federal court. The civil suit is separate from criminal charges that Madoff faces. He's accused of bilking $50 billion from investors. The SEC says he agreed to the partial judgment without admitting or denying any wrongdoing. Nancy Zimfer is expected to become the next chancellor of the State University of New York. That's according to a person who briefed the AP on the decision. She's currently the president of the University of Cincinnati. The board searched for more than a year for the next chancellor of the nation's largest state university system. Zimfer is best known for forcing Cincinnati's popular basketball coach, Bob Huggins, out of his job in 2005 after he was charged with drunken driving.
WNYC is supported by cultural arts partner the Queens Museum of Art, presenting Queens International 4, their fourth biennial, featuring work from 42 emerging and established Queens-based artists, collaboratives, and collectives from 18 countries. Details at queensmuseum.org.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
One of my bottom lines is whether or not credit is flowing to the people who need it. Is it flowing to banks? Is it flowing to businesses, large and small? Is it flowing to consumers? Are they able to operate in ways that translate into jobs and economic growth on Main Street? And the package that we've put together is designed to help do that. And beyond that, I'm going to make sure that Tim gets his moment in the sun tomorrow.
It's Tim's moment in the sun. I wonder if he sees it that way. I'm Todd Zwillick, joined by Catherine Lamfer here in the studio, in for John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji. Well, this morning, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner does have his moment in the sun, and he'll announce how the second half of the $700 billion Congress approved for the bailout of troubled banks will be spent. The Bush administration's implementation of the so-called Troubled Assets Relief Program, or TARP, got plenty of criticism, that's for sure. But will Obama and his administration do any better? To help try to answer that question, Lizzie O'Leary, Washington, D.C.-based reporter for Bloomberg News, is on the line. And so is Tom McCool, director of the Center for Economics at the Government Accountability Office. Lizzie, how much do we know right now about what Tim Geithner will announce today for the second phase of TARP? Some reports this morning are suggesting it could reach as much as $1.5 trillion.
It could reach as much as $1.5 trillion. And I think it's important to point out the disconnect between that $350 billion that remains and what Congress appropriated and allocated back in September and approved in January, and then what the overall cost will be. So just because the money doesn't come from something that Congress said, here, go ahead, you can spend this money, doesn't mean it's not there. We're talking about an expansion of a Federal Reserve program that would let investors or help investors basically get cheap loans to buy credit assets that are backed by commercial loans. We're also talking about some sort of program that would leverage private capital to try to buy those really bad assets that we've heard about clogging banks' balance sheets.
All right. Well, the first phase of TARP was criticized for not requiring banks to start lending. There was some suggestive language in the plan, but it certainly wasn't a requirement. Members of Commerce complain about that all the time. Do you think that requirement will be in there explicitly this time?
No, I don't. It won't be for a couple of reasons. You heard the president last night in his press conference say, we want banks to lend, but you didn't hear him say, and we're going to rewrite the law to say they have to. One of the concerns that some of the folks at the Treasury Department have is if they put a lending requirement into law, that some of these banks are in such a precipitous financial state that they just might teeter, and they really might need the capital to actually cushion themselves from more losses that could still be coming from some of these assets.
Okay, so still relying on the bank's discretion to get credit loosened up. Tom McCool from Government Accountability Office, I want to turn to you. The GAO wrote a report critical of the first phase of the TARP, especially regarding transparency. This is a big deal. What differences are you hoping for this time around to get more transparency into this plan?
Well, I think that we're hoping that there will be at least reporting requirements, if not lending requirements, put on any new recipients of TARP funding, especially under either the capital purchase program or whatever they call a new program that injects capital into banks. So at least a reporting requirement in terms of what the banks intend to do with the money and also what they have been doing with the money over time.
Well, one of the questions around reporting requirements is should it be dollar for dollar, you know, total transparency, how much has been spent where, or sort of broad brushstrokes? We're spending some money in this sector, some money in that sector. We've kept some for salaries. We've kept some for capital, some for cushioning. What should that look like? What is transparency in this case?
Well, I think it would be nice if you could account for it dollar for dollar. I'm not sure if that's always going to be feasible. But if you do report activity, lending activity, you should be able to follow what happens when capital moves into a bank and then how the activity changes. And so at least analytically, you could get a sense of what the injections were doing to the lending activity.
Hey, Lizzie, I want to turn back to you again. Let's talk about how the Treasury Department is going to get private investment to help the banks. How exactly is that going to work?
Well, I think that's the $1.5 trillion question. The idea is that the government didn't want to put so much taxpayer money at risk that they would form a bad bank, an aggregator bank. That's an idea that was kicked around. They thought, gee, that just might be too expensive, because if the government pays too much for these assets, the taxpayers take a bath, and if they pay too little, then the banks crumble anyway, and the taxpayers take a bath. So what they want to do is essentially provide a government guarantee against loss, but an incentive for private investors to do well on the upside if these assets turn around and start performing. And some of them may. I think an economist I heard last week used the example of a house. You might not want to sell your house right now. You can draw the analogy with an asset. But if you hang on to it for a year, you know there's some intrinsic value there. So the hope is, if the government says, we'll insure you against loss with this small amount of money that we have now, we want you, private investor, whoever that may be, and frankly, hedge funds are the only people with the money right now, to come in, buy the asset, and eventually we hope you are enticed by the idea of a future profit.
Tom, is there anything to the worry that come from the banks, and I know you've heard this, that too much transparency is actually a disincentive for them to participate, that if people know too much about what they do with the money, that the banks don't necessarily want to be in the light of day and we need them to participate?
Well, that certainly was the Treasury's argument for not asking for reporting requirements to begin with. And I think that there is obviously some reporting burden that you put on these institutions, but they already have to report quarterly on all this type of information to their regulator. And we didn't think that initial reporting, more frequent reporting, would be that burdensome. There may be some cases at the margin where banks would decide not to take the money, but I don't think that, given the limited amount of reporting we're asking for, that would really be the case.
Hey, Tom, I want to make sure I'm clear here. The burden here is just in the act of reporting, not on actually reporting what you spent the money on. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Reporting your lending activity for a particular period of time.
Right.
I mean, it's rolling up your records and sending off a report to the government, effectively.
And doing that is so burdensome.
Doing that monthly rather than quarterly is
right.
Effectively what we're asking.
Right. Lizzie, is there what chances are there, I should ask, that housing is part of this plan? Now, housing, they say something on foreclosure mitigation, helping people stay in their homes, which was part of the root of this whole thing in the first place. A plan on that is coming later in the week. There are a lot of people in Congress. There's part of the stimulus package, actually, in the Senate, says that $50 billion of this TARP must be spent on foreclosure mitigation. I don't know if that's going to survive negotiations with the House. I guess the question is, will it survive negotiations with the House, and will it be part of Geithner's plan today?
Possibly, and yes.
Uh-huh.
Or in the future.
In the future, but not necessarily today, though.
Not necessarily today, for a couple of reasons. I think that the administration also made the bargain that they wanted to let the president announce a foreclosure mitigation program. Now, we know that there will be some of that $350 billion allocated to foreclosure prevention, because Larry Summers, the head of the National Economic Council, put it in writing to the Senate basically said, we are going to use between $50 and $100 billion for foreclosure mitigation. It looks like that's going to be a closer to 50 than 100, but it also looks like, and we had been getting hints from Treasury at the beginning of the week that they wanted to keep this as a separate program. It looks like it will be a separate program, and that is, again, separate and apart from whatever survives what is sure to be a contentious House-Senate conference on the stimulus package.
Right, and Chris Dodd of the Senate Banking Committee said he wasn't taking anyone's word for it, not even Tim Geithner, not even Larry Summers, not even the president, that foreclosure mitigation was going to be part of this. So he had his amendment passed just to make sure everyone was on the same page?
Just in case. I think right now there's a lot of distrust between the different ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, and I think that's one of the reasons, to go back to the first question you asked me, the administration, are trying to make sure that there are other funding streams for what they want to do for the financial sector, because right now I think if they were to turn around and come back to Congress and say, by the way, we need another $1 trillion to prop up the banking sector, there's no way that there would be the kind of appetite among the appropriators to dole out that money.
Okay. Lots of twists and turns left in the TARP. Lizzie O'Leary from Bloomberg in Washington, D.C., thanks. Tom McCool, Director of the Center for Economics at the Government Accountability Office, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, Todd. Now, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to see Tim Geithner's press conference. But we're still going to be talking about the stimulus package, all those different legs of the stool. We want to know what you would like to see in the stimulus plan. What do you really need in your town? If you're going to build the stool, what should be on there? Let us know. 877-8-MY-TAKE. My take at thetakeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.